Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present One Way to Broadway. And one way to introduce our star tonight is to tell you he's a tall, lanky fellow from Pennsylvania who happens to be a top-flight actor, an Academy Award winner, and one of the most likable people you've ever met, Jimmy Stewart. Pleasure to have you on our Hallmark show, Jimmy.
Well, thank you, Jerry. That's a great story you got for tonight.
Oh, tell me, when you first read it, did you have any idea how it would turn out?
No. That's what I like about these Hallmark stories. You never figure them out in advance.
Ah, but there's one thing you can always count on, Jimmy.
What's that?
Power asking a question about how to make certain of getting the finest greeting cards.
I'm all ready for you, Jay. You just turn the card over and look on the back for those three identifying words. A Hallmark card.
Good. And, of course, you know, those three identifying words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, shall we take our audience behind scenes on Broadway, where there is no glamour, no glitter. Just hungry, hard-working people desperately hoping for that one-in-a-million chance for fame. Stephen Spotswood is one of those. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you his strange story on the Reader's Digest radio edition as you hear One Way to Broadway, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Better take it easy on these stairs, darling. We still got another flight to go, you know.
I'm dying to see our apartment, Steve.
Well, now, don't expect too much, Sally. You know, this isn't Schenectady. And for $37 a month, you don't get very much in a big city like New York, you know. Some apartments cost over $100.
$100 a month?
Without furniture.
Oh, Steve, I'm frightened of New York.
Oh, now, don't be silly, darling. It's just the same as any other place, that people just walk a little faster, that's all.
I know, but we've taken on so much. Getting married and coming to live in a big, strange city. Suppose things don't turn out the way...
Allie, did you marry me for my money or because you believed in me?
Because I believe in you, darling. You haven't got it.
Well, then what do we got to worry about? Don't you know I'm going to be a great playwright someday?
Some people write plays all their lives and never get one produced.
Well, not if they write a good one.
But, Steve...
Look, but Allie, I love you, darling.
Will that make you a great playwright, Steve?
How can it miss? How can it? Just wait and see.
Lee Grungy, Theatrical Productions. Mr. Harris? Just a moment, please.
Excuse me, miss. My name's Spotswood. Stephen Spotswood.
Sorry, no casting today.
Oh, look, I'm not an actor. Oh, no, I left a play in here about a month ago. I thought perhaps Mr. Grundy might have read it by now.
Does it have a name?
It's Half a League Onward.
By Stephen Spotswood?
That's right, yeah. I understand Mr. Grundy's looking for a play for Rita LaSalle.
Here you are, Mrs. Spotswood. I have your manuscript right here.
Well, what do you think of it? I mean, wasn't there any comment?
No, Mr. Grundy doesn't criticize plays. He either buys them or he doesn't.
Oh, I see. This is one of the ones he didn't buy.
No. That's the general idea.
Yeah. Don't suppose he'd want to read it again, would he? No,
Once is enough, Mr. Spotswood.
It's once enough, yeah. I was afraid of that.
Better luck next time.
Next time, Yeah, thanks. Better luck next time. Yeah. No, this is a new play, Miss Simmons. It's called The Last Straw. It has a green cover on it. I wondered if Mr. Grundy...
Here you are, Mr. Spotswood. Mr. Grundy is returning the manuscript.
Without any comment, huh?
Sorry. Uh-huh. Better luck next time.
Yeah. Charlie, it's just a question of time, honey. The third play I wrote was better than the first two, but all three of them were just warm-ups for the one I'm writing now. This one is the one that's really going to sell, darling.
Hey, Honest Fitzwood. Mr. Grundy is returning the manuscript.
Grundy?
Huh?
I'm sorry to break into your office like this, but I just had to see you, Mr. Grundy.
What do you want?
Who are you?
Well, I'm not much anybody, I guess, but my name's Spotswood. Stephen Spotswood. I'm a playwright.
Look, Mr. Spotswood, I'm a very busy man. If you want to leave a manuscript with the girl outside...
No, I've done that, Mr. Grundy. I've left four of them there already.
And you never got them back?
Oh, I got them back, all right. That's why I came to see you. I thought you might tell me why you never bought one.
Well, I can't buy all the plays that come into this office, Mr. Spotswood. As a matter of fact, I buy about 1 in 100.
Well, I'd gladly write the other 96 if I thought I was on the right track, but I... I don't know. I don't know whether I'm getting better or worse. There doesn't seem to be any way of finding out.
Well, hold on a minute now. I'll look up your name in the file.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Thank you, sir.
Spotswood. Oh, Stephen Spotswood.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Yeah, well, let's see now. Half a League Onward.
That was my first play.
Uh-huh. Good basic idea, but no construction. Dialogue poor.
No, poor.
The Last Straw.
That was my second play.
Funny in spots, but no sustained interest. Hackneyed theme.
Oh, hackneyed, huh?
One Man's Poison.
I know, no suspense, too much dialogue.
No. Good first act, but no play after that.
Oh. But at least the first act was good, huh? I just shouldn't have handed in the other two. Huh?
No. You must be improving, Mr. Spotswood. Listen to this. Never say die. Exciting idea, fairly well written, but not commercial.
Well, you mean I've got a chance?
Well, I'd be the last person in the world to advise anybody about a career of playwriting. It's much too uncertain. But if you've got enough confidence, you'll keep on writing whether I advise you to or not.
Oh, I've got plenty of confidence, all right, Mr. Grundy, but my wife's just about ready to toss him the sponge.
I'm afraid that's your problem, Mr. Spotswood.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm afraid it is. The only trouble is I don't know what to do about it.
Money. Any luck?
Well, not exactly, but things are looking a lot brighter than they were before. I saw Mr. Grundy today.
Just saw him?
Well, he didn't exactly offer me a contract or anything, but he did say I was improving. Well, you should have seen my card. I went from poor dialogue right up to uncommercial writing.
That's good, I suppose.
That's good. Well, I'll bet there are plenty of playwrights that give their eye teeth to be uncommercial. No kidding, honey. No, sir. It's just a question of time now.
How much time, Steve? A lifetime?
Oh, no, Ellie, now, come on. You're not going to cry, are you?
Well, how do you expect me to feel? Skimping and saving all the time just to get by? Seeing you work at odd jobs in the afternoon and sitting up writing all night?
Oh, baby, it won't be like this forever. You know that. All playwrights have to struggle for a while. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any...
Any what?
Any struggling playwrights. We'll snap out of this, Ollie. I promise you we will. After all, Shakespeare wasn't built in a day.
I didn't marry Shakespeare.
Oh, well, when I hear you talk like that, I almost wish you had. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't mean that. Ollie, please don't cry anymore. Oh, hey. I got a present for you.
What kind of a present?
Well, it's something you'll like, honey. It's something to cheer you up around the house. Come on over here, look. Look at it.
What is it?
It's a canary. Holy mackerel, it sings. Well, it sings, Allie.
What did you expect it to do? Play a harmonica?
No, but you see, it actually makes notes. Yeah. The cheap ones aren't supposed to do that, you know. Gee, it sings for $5.
Steve, did you pay $5 for that canary?
for three.
My God. And here you are walking around with frayed shirt sleeves and scuffed shoes and a patch in your pants. You spent $5 for that scrawny bird.
I spent it for you, Allie. I wanted you to feel good when you woke up in the morning.
Well, you've made me feel fine. $5 for a canary. And we haven't had a decent roast in the house for almost a year. Couldn't you buy a chicken?
A chicken doesn't make you happy, darling. You just eat it once and then that's all over.
Well, I wish we could eat that canary. You shut up.
Oh, come on, Allie. The bird doesn't know any better.
Well, neither do you know any better.
Well, now, honey, just calm down, will you? Now, this little guy here is going to make a big difference in our lives. He's going to sing when we wake up in the morning. He's going to make us laugh again. He's going to bring us luck.
Luck? We haven't got enough money to support him.
Oh. A bird seed doesn't cost very much.
Well, if you don't hurry up and sell a play, we'll all be eating it.
That's just it, baby. Lucky's going to make me write a commercial play, a happy play that sings the way he does. Aren't you lucky?
Oh, Steve.
I've got the idea for it right away. I've got the idea right now. A young married couple living on the top floor of a brownstone apartment. And they haven't got a dime. And he comes along one night with a canary instead of a chicken.
Steve, that's us.
Sure it's us. That's why it's good. The bird sings all day. And his songs cheer them up, give them courage to go on and fight the world instead of each other.
Oh, Lord.
And well, it can't miss. I tell you, we'll be on Easy Street after I write this one.
Oh.
And Grundy will be crazy about it, and so will the critics. And I'll build you a house on Park Avenue, and we'll live happily ever after.
We'll present the second act of tonight's play from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, I'd like to tell you about another young man whose improvements were only his stepping stones to perfection. Exactly 100 years ago this month, a child was born who was literally to leave great bronze and stone monuments to his skill. An unforgettable statue of Lincoln in Chicago, a heroic landmark of General Sherman in New York, a magnificent monument in Washington. Augustus St. Gaudens started at the age of 12 as an apprentice cameo cutter, learning to make almost microscopic carvings. He trained his hands to work delicately. He trained his eyes to see critically. And he trained his mind to accept only perfection. In creating the Shaw Memorial that stands as a landmark today in Boston, he modeled 40 figures before deciding on the 16 he finally used. For Augustus St. Gaudens had acquired the habit of taking infinite pains with details. Now the people who make Hallmark cards have that same sincere regard for their work. They, too, feel that a great deal of care and understanding must go into something as warm and personal as a greeting card. You see, they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Greeting cards that carry warmth and friendliness and affection. Cards that have a wonderful way of saying just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. Because those three identifying words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you've cared enough to send the very best. Our program continues with Act Two of tonight's story, One Way to Broadway, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Boy, Lucky, you keep singing till I get back. I won't be long.
Steve, don't forget your rubbers. It's raining up.
Yeah, I got them on, Allie. So long, Lucky. So long, honey.
Good luck, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, baby. I'll need it.
Oh, just one moment, Mr. Sp-
Spotswood. You can't slide by me this time.
Oh, hello, Miss Clancy. I was just going uptown.
Now, none of your breezy exits, young man, even if I am your landlady.
Well, I was going uptown. I have to see Mr. Grundy about
something. Now, look here, Mr. Spotswood. I hate to keep asking you about the rent all the time, but it's the only way I can get it out of you.
Oh, does the rent do again?
Again? It's been due for 2 months.
Well, that's what I was going uptown about. You see, I just finished a new play, and Mr. Grundy promised to read it last night.
Never mind about this Mr. Grundy,
young man. It's a comedy about two people on the fourth floor and a bird that brings them luck. That's why it's lucky, because he's in it.
Who's in it?
The canary.
The
And you're in it, too. A nice Irish landlady with a heart of gold. She's got the second act curtain with a plunger in her hand.
What?
Now, away you see it.
What? See what?
The play. I can't miss. Mr. Grundy's going to produce it.
Now, come back here, young
now,
man.
See you later, Miss Clancy. I'll have a check for you in the morning.
Sit down, Spotswood. I'd like to have a talk with you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Grundy. What did you think of my play?
Well, I know this is going to break your heart, but I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't? Why not?
Well, you see, it isn't really a play, Spotswood. It's a vaudeville act.
Oh, vaudeville act, huh? And there isn't any vaudeville anymore.
Now, don't go to pieces, old man. Some of it was very touching.
Well, what was the matter with the rest of it?
Well, you see, it's not funny enough to be a farce, and it's not realistic enough to be a comedy. The basic idea is all right, and the dialogue is pretty good, but it just doesn't gel.
Well, I was writing a play. I wasn't making jello.
Now, don't take it so hard. You've got a lot of talent, Spotswood. And the next time you write a play, you'll do much better.
The next time?
Well, you're going to keep on writing, aren't you?
Well, I guess so, Mr. Grundy. As long as there's a typewriter in the house, I'll keep pounding it. The Seven Pillars by Stephen Spotswood.
Sorry, Mrs. Spotswood. Mr. Grundy didn't like it.
Blow the High Wind by Stephen Spotswood.
Sorry, Mrs. Spotswood.
Sorry, Mr. Spotswood.
Sorry.
Oh, Steve, after all this, we're right back where we started from.
Well, gee, honey, I was worried about you. Where have you been?
Working. Jim Eklund gave me a part-time job.
Who's Jim Eklund?
Don't you remember Jim from Schenectady? He's got an office in New York now.
Oh.
I had to do it, darling. I know you don't want me to work, but I had to do it. I was ashamed making excuses to the landlady and hiding from the butcher and finding a new grocery store every week.
Yeah, I understand.
We haven't paid a bill in months. The bird store, the Chinese laundry, the gas company, they're all after us.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Steve, why don't you give up playwriting and get yourself a decent job? We could be so happy, Steve.
Well, I don't know, Allie. I've given up so much to make a go of this thing.
Then why give up any more?
No, you don't understand, baby. I don't want to be a great playwright anymore. Maybe I did when we came here, but now I'm fighting for my life, honey. I've got to lick this somehow. Lick it right. Or I'll never be able to do anything else.
How can you lick it, darling?
Well, I've got an idea.
What kind of an idea?
For a play.
Oh, Steve!
Now, listen, honey. This is the last play I'll ever write, I promise you. Only this one's going to be produced.
After seven others have failed?
That's just it. Those seven other plays weren't all bad. There was something good in every one of them. A scene, a character, a turn of the story. Even Grundy admits that. There was something good in every one of them.
What's your idea, Steve?
A combination of the whole lot. Taking the best elements of each play and putting them all together in a new one. The best one of them all.
Steve, you're crazy.
It can be done, Allie. I know it can, and I've started to work on it already.
Putting seven plays together into one?
Well, not seven plays, honey. Just the best parts of them. And when I get through this time, there won't be anything wrong.
Steve, honey, are you going to work on your play again tonight?
Yeah, I've got to, baby. I'm still in the first act.
Well, if you're going to work, I'm going to go to the movies with Jim Eklund.
Okay, all right. Okay. Hello, Ellie. Well, where you been?
Out to dinner with Jim Eklund.
Oh, good. Glad you got a good meal.
Steve, don't you care anymore?
Oh, sure, I care, honey, but I just got to get this play done. Ellie!
soon as I...
Oh. Well, I thought you were home.
Just a moment, Mr. Spotswood.
Oh, now, don't stop me now, Miss Clancy. I'll talk to you about the rent some other time.
You won't have to, young man. Your eviction notice has just been posted.
Eviction notice?
Yes, it's right there on the door. You've been dispossessed for non-payment of your rent.
Well, but this is crazy. I mean, this is no time to dispossess us. But we can pay the rent now.
With what?
With this check right here from Mr. Grundy. Take a look at that, Miss Clancy. Take a look at that. He just paid me $500 in advance royalties from a new play.
You mean he bought it?
I'll say he bought it. He says the best play he's read in years. And commercial, too. We go into rehearsal Monday morning.
Well, for heaven's sakes, you are a playwright.
Yeah, well, treat me with a little respect, will you? And give me a chance to tell my wife the good news, huh?
Your wife isn't home, Mr. Spotswood.
What do you mean she isn't home? I just left her a couple of hours ago.
Well, she left right after you did. Her suitcase, too.
Suitcase? Well, what are you talking about?
You better read this here letter, Mr. Spotswood. She left it for you.
Well, yeah, let me see the letter. Dear Steve, I've tried hard to stay with you, darling, but I just couldn't stand it any longer. I've gone away with Jim Malcolm to Reno. I'm going to start proceedings for a divorce. I hate to leave you this way, but it's the only thing left for me, Ellie.
Yeah, I've seen it coming for a long time.
Oh, no, she can't run away with that guy. Not now. She can't do that.
She did.
Gee whiz, she just packed her clothes and ran away with another guy. How could she do that?
Well, that's the way women are when they've had enough. I feel sorry for you, Mr. Spotswood.
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe you'll have better luck the next time.
Huh?
I said, maybe you'll have better luck the next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Only there's not going to be any next time. The ride's over, Mrs. Clancy. This is where I get off.
Sap, Spotswood. You'll get over this. You've got to get over it. You can't just put an end to your life because she walked out on you. Where's your pride? Look. Look, you can't commit suicide just because your wife left you. What good would it do? Steve. Steve, now look, don't do it. Steve. Steve. Come on, now, keep away from that stove. Keep away from it, will you? Will you get away from there? Take your hand off that gas. Now, don't turn it on, Steve. Pull it. Steve. Don't. Okay. If that's the way you want it, there's no stopping you now.
Steve, darling, wake up. It's me, honey. It's Allie.
Allie?
I've come back to you.
Well, Allie, where am I? What?
Right here in our apartment. You must have fallen asleep.
Asleep? You mean I dreamt all that about you running away and all...
No, no, sweetheart. I did run away. But I was a fool to think that I could ever live without you. I realized it as soon as I got on the train.
Honey...
No, don't say anything. Not now. I'm so terribly ashamed of myself. I only want you to put your arms around me and tell me that you forgive me. If you can forgive me.
Well, sure, I forgive you, Ellie.
Oh, darling, I love you so much. I'll always love you. And I'll always stay with you. No matter how many plays you want to write.
What? You haven't heard the good news?
Yes, I have. Mrs. Clancy told me you sold the play.
Yeah, just this afternoon, while you were gone. We'll make a fortune out of it, Ellie. Mr. Grundy said it would be sure to be...
What's the matter, Steve?
What?
Why are you looking at the stove?
What? No, look. Allie, there's something I don't understand. I've been alone here for over an hour, and when I went to sleep, the gas was on.
Gas?
Oh, yeah. Allie,
I did a crazy thing, Ellie.
Oh, don't worry about the gas, Steve. They turned it off an hour ago because we didn't pay our bill.
Turn it off? What, you mean downstairs?
Yes, Steve. What's the matter?
Not a thing. Not a thing, Hundy. Just hold me tight. Let's not say anything more about it, huh?
Thank you, Jimmy. That was wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Stewart will be back in just a moment. You know, Easter comes early this year. It's just a week from Sunday. And Easter is a wonderful time to remember our friends and loved ones. You'll find Hallmark Easter cards designed for just that purpose, to send to your friends, to mother and dad, to grandmother or a favorite aunt. And there are cards that express the deep spiritual joy of Easter. For the children, gay, rollicking Easter bunnies, cutouts, colorful greetings that will delight any youngster's eye. So stop in tomorrow, one of the fine stores that carry Hallmark cards. You'll discover cards that seem to have been designed just for you. So remember to look for those three identifying words on the back when you select your Easter cards. Those three words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And here's Jimmy Stewart again. Thank you, Jimmy, for one of the finest performances we've had.
Thank you very much, Jay. Now, tell me, what's on the boards next week for the Hallmark program?
Well, are you a deep water man?
Well, me? From Pennsylvania? No, I'm strictly an armchair admiral. But I always like a good solly yarn.
Oh, we've got one. A story from real life called Deepwater Captain. One of the saltiest citizens who ever weighed an anchor or bossed a crew.
Oh, who plays it?
Louis Calhern.
Oh, that sounds like a fine show.
It is. So join us next Thursday, Jimmy, for the wonderful true story, Deepwater Captain, starring Louis Calhern and presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Stewart can currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox production called Northside 777. Starting March 29th, he will appear in the Broadway play Harvey. In tonight's story, Jimmy Stewart was supported by Mercedes McCambridge in the role of Allie. One Way to Broadway was dramatized by Robert Sloan and was based on the story entitled The Juggler by Arthur Stringer as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying goodnight to you all until next week at this same time, when our story will be Deepwater Captain, starring Louis Calhern. Other stars soon to be heard on the Hallmark program are Ann Rutherford, Franchot Tone, and Ralph Bellamy. See you then.
KMBC, Kansas City, Missouri.